everybody. Welcome to a brand new Pretender to Contender. A little late this week. A little late. It's coming on Thursday instead of Tuesday. But what are you going to do? Crazy week. Life. Two kids. Son in private school. Baseball. Football practices. My daughter is in School of Rock. My 10-year-old, I got to take her to her music lessons, to all her play dates, to everything that it takes to be a dad today. But today we got a great episode of Pretender to Contender. Got a great interview with an entrepreneur by the name of Jeff Levine. He's the owner of Silk City Hot Sauce. He's been doing a lot of promos on different podcasts. You may have heard that company. He was even advertising all over Chop Sports Media for a while, the podcasting network that I'm on. So he's my guest today. We're going to interview him in a second. So I hope you're having a good time this week. You're enjoying your weeks. The cold weather's starting to happen. Really nothing to tell you about me. I want to get to this interview pretty fast because it's a pretty good one. It's a pretty long one. What's going on with me? I got new glasses. Here they are. My wife picked these out. Lens Crafters. What do you think? Think they're good. Trying to grow my hair long, which is ridiculous. My wife doesn't know. Trying to grow it. It's going to take a while. It's going to go through an awkward stage and you guys are going to see it. What else is going on? I have a video that went up on my Instagram and my TikTok about my dad when he sings in church. He's so Italian, he can't help but sound like Sinatra. And my dad sent me a text last night saying it upset him. He doesn't care that, and I'm like, upset you? That joke's like old. I mean, it was a new version of me doing it. And I go, but you've never heard me do that joke? And he's like, I don't mind it as a joke. I just don't want it all over your social media for the world to see. And I was like, I didn't understand, but I guess I do understand. There's two things that are my dad's soft spots. One is Sinatra. Two is religion. My dad's very religious. He's a very proud Catholic man. And I made fun of the way he sings in church that he sounds like Sinatra, which was a total exaggeration because I knew he loved Sinatra. I just kind of exaggerated in the joke. It was not real. I apologize, Dad, if you see this podcast. I love you more than anything. You're the fucking best dad, as I curse. You're a great dad. You've always been a great dad. And I don't want to hurt his feelings. Something we talk about in this interview with Jeff over there at Silk City Hot Sauce is people want to see who you are. And that's what it is now to get business rolling. They want to see how it's made. They want to see how they want to see your family. If you talk about your family in your act, they want to see them in your social media. Everything needs to be out there. And that's what jokes are too. So I'm just trying to make people laugh by bringing them into my world, my Italian dad who sings in church. So I was just trying to be funny. I think, that's it. And it hurts feelings sometimes. It just sucks that that's part of our business. The more revealing we are, the funnier it is. And then the more it hurts somebody's feelings in our lives. Jerry Seinfeld, I heard him once say, if you're married to a comedian, you have to know that you're part of the mix. You're part of the game. You're a business owner if you're connected to a comedian. Moms, dads, brothers, sisters, kids, wives, you're gonna be in the jokes. You're part of it. So that just sucks. But sorry, Dad, I apologize. All right. But great interview with Jeff Levine from Silk City Hot Sauce. A great product. And him and I talk extensively about how he took it from the beginnings to where it is now and what were the keys to getting his business really going. And it sounds so much similar to any business that you're in. So if you listen to this, I think you'll get some great ideas for your own business. All right. And as you see at the bottom, scrolling, mattery67@gmail.com is my email. It's my direct email. If you want to advertise on my TikTok, we can put things together and do a little campaign, a little funny campaign. I'll connect you guys to the videos that are on there, like I'm going to be doing with Jeff from Silk City Hot Sauce very soon. All right, so let's get to the interview. We'll be right back with the very interesting and very entertaining. I love this guy, Jeff Levine, everybody. We'll be right back. Cheers, Jeff. Cheers. Thanks for doing the podcast. We are now live. Well, we're not live, but I'm recording you. And Jeff, so we had that long conversation, you and I, while I was strolling through the mall about to pick up these glasses right here that my wife picked out. I think she did an okay job.
They look very nice.
Yeah. And you look exactly like what someone should look like if they're doing their own hot sauce business themselves out of Vermont. Like, you look like, what is it about Vermont that makes everybody have a long beard, wear winter hats and flannel shirts? Is it just because it's colder there?
It's cold now. Yeah. I mean, I, truth be told, I shave my beard in the summertime. But once it starts getting chilly in the fall, I just say the fuck it and just let it grow. It's a pain in the ass to fill the sink with the hair. And I got to get like Drano and all that shit. So I just let it go.
Do you have long hair too, or you got that shaved?
Oh, long hair under here?
No.
Oh no, that's long gone.
All right. That's good. I'm in the midst of also, my wife doesn't know it and she'll probably think I'm an idiot when I say it to her, but I'm trying to grow my hair. Like, this is like long for me. It's like ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
It's really white on the sides, especially with the white balance on the camera there. But everybody just know who's watching or listening to the podcast, I am in the course of trying. I think it's cause I joined something called School of Rock. I don't know if you follow me on social media.
Sure.
Did you see the video I posted? I'm 1 week in, they put you together in a band at the School of Rock. I'm in like a dad band with like, there's like three or four dads. There's a 24-year-old girl singing. And then like the teacher kind of helps you. And I posted the video, like, it's fucking hilarious. We actually could play. And I haven't played a band since high school. I play guitar, but I'm not very good. So I was like, something I had always wanted to do. I don't know if it's because how old are you?
42.
Oh, you're way younger than me. So I'm 54. I'm at this age now where I'm like, everything that you would think I got like a death sentence, like I'm about to die.
Having another midlife crisis.
Yeah. I'm just like I want to do things that I always wanted to do. Like, and whenever I see someone pick up my guitar or just a guitar and really like riff on it, like play like really cool blues riffs and really be good at it, I'm like, fuck, if I would have kept working at it, like I just pick it up and can play it, you know, but I've never really sat there and really worked at it because I have two kids now and my comedy career. So, and not that I even want to bring a guitar on stage in comedy, which I have done before, but it's usually to make fun of me being bad. It's not like, oh, look how good I am. And I've always said, this is like my rule with instruments on stage for comedians. You either have to have an amazing singing voice or be amazing at that instrument. So if you're just like, okay at either, don't bother. You're going to look like an asshole. Like, I'm a huge fan of how Steve Martin would play the banjo in between his stand-up bits, but he would just play well. He didn't do like comedy. He did it here and there with the banjo. I don't know. You're young. I don't know if you remember him playing the banjo.
I do. Yeah. He's amazing. It's almost like look at this amazing talent I have in addition to me being funny.
Yeah, like I've had this new genre lately where I like to mix live music with stand up. And it's usually with, you know, doing my act with a band behind me, and it's fun, you know, and I would love it to be me who's like, hey, I just made you laugh for 10 minutes and then all of a sudden just play like a minute of really good guitar and then stop and then go back into comedy. I don't know. It's just something I want to do, and I just want to get good at it. So, but more about you. I mean, do you play any instruments? You look like you're a spin doctor.
I do. I play the guitar. I saw the Spin Doctors and on July 4th. Now, I wasn't even a Spin Doctors fan, but up here, it's like there's hardly ever any entertainment in this general area in southern Vermont where I live.
What's the closest big what city are you in Vermont?
The closest big city, I guess, would be Boston, which is 2 hours away from where I live. And
like if you want to go see a concert or a band, where do you got to go all the way to Boston? I mean,
yeah,
really? Like there's nothing. Yeah, well, where's Burlington? Is Burlington a big city in Vermont?
Yeah, definitely. Burlington is the city in Vermont. It's the biggest town in Vermont with about maybe 30,000 people. That's the biggest town in Vermont, 30,000.
Because it's probably a college more people town, in your right? town.
Yeah, it's a college town.
So, how far are you from Burlington? You're further from Burlington than Boston?
I'm actually further from Burlington than Boston. Burlington's about 2.5 hours up north, and because I'm all the way down south, like actually to 15 miles from the Massachusetts border.
Oh, wow.
So it's actually closer to get to Boston, which, you know, to see like most touring acts, like cool bands, like we went down to Boston a couple of years ago to see the Meat Puppets. We went down there to see, remember the Meat Puppets?
I do.
Yeah. I've been a fan of them forever, and they still tour because I guess they don't really have anything better to do, but... we went down there to see the Black Angels, cool like blues band from Austin. But lower down, like the tier of show business or just bands that are kind of like play the smaller circuits. They'll play in towns like Brattleboro, which is like 10 minutes from me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, Brattleboro I've heard of too. I don't know why I've heard of that. But I've done gigs everywhere in 30 years, so I can remember going all the way up to Vermont. But it was always Burlington. I remember there was a comedy club in Burlington, and that was always really fun. I don't know if there still is one, or maybe I think they might have opened something new up there in Burlington. There's a comedy club, like a good one.
Who knows? Yeah, there was a club that was doing a lot of business before the pandemic. I don't know if they reopened. I'll have to look into that.
So the reason why I wanted to have you on the podcast and maybe have you on the podcast a lot is similar to if you listen, you're a listener, you're a longtime fan of mine. You told me on the phone, like you've been like following me for a long time from all long the really time. Old podcasts.
Fixing Joe since, you know, the beginning.
And how did you find me the first time?
Probably on the Preston and Steve show.
How'd you hear
If I had a guess, I moved to Vermont from Philadelphia back in like 11 years ago. So I was in Philadelphia for about 5 or 6 years in the early 2000s.
Okay.
And I'm assuming you used to go on the Preston and Steve show. Probably still do.
I still do. Yeah. Those guys are great. That's amazing. You're the first person that's ever been like, oh, I became a fan because I heard you on the Preston and Steve show, or, you know, maybe a few times, but it usually would coincide with like, oh, I saw you open for Bill Burr in Philly, and then I heard you on the Preston and Steve show, and like it's like two things. But okay, so I mean, what's interesting to me is the whole thing you're doing with Silk City Hot Sauce and the being like just. I mean, what do you call that in your business? Like you're like grassroots entrepreneur who's like making his own stuff, bottling it himself, and doing like a lot of mail order. Do you have any stores that are local that sell it?
Yeah,
explain your brand basically.
Sure. I mean, as far as relating to you, Silk City Hot Sauce is the most recent iteration of my entrepreneurial brands. It's the one that's here. It's the one that's going to stay. But I've been driving my wife fucking crazy for the past like 10 years because it didn't start with Silk City Hot Sauce. Just to go back for
what like, did it start with?
It started with Pioneer Bean Company. When I was in Philadelphia, I got hired by a cheese company in South Philly as like a marketing guy. The Bruno brothers, for all your South Philly fans, I'm sure like a lot of people in that area, like the Cherry Hill area, Marlton, Philly.
My brother will know it. What's the Bruno brothers?
Yeah, the Bruno brothers are like this, like the famous cheese guys in South Philly. And they had come out with like this line of cheese spreads in the early 2000s when I was living there. And at the time, my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, was going to medical school, which is why we wound up in Philadelphia. So I was just kind of like wandering around, wondering what the fuck I was going to do. So just randomly, I think I found the job on Craigslist, actually. And they hired me to go around South Jersey, Central Jersey, Philadelphia, the Philadelphia suburbs with their cheese spreads. And I used to go to the different ShopRites and McCaffrey Markets, just name dropping stores for people in that South Philly or New Jersey area.
Well, were you college educated enough that you got hired? Like,
I was a little college educated, you know?
Because I, every once in a while, like if comedy, especially during Corona, when it got so bad, you're like, what the hell else could I ever do? Like, can I show up for a job interview and get the job with comedy as my background? You always think we're like, probably why you and I hit it off over the phone is I said to you, being a comedian is just like owning a restaurant or starting up a brand like Silk City Hot Sauce from scratch. It's the same shit. Being a comedian is a brand. It didn't used to be that way. I never even looked at it that way when I was coming up as a comedian. I was like, that I'm a brand and what am I and how do I get everybody to follow this? Never thought of it like that. So I think social media and the internet had to change that. I mean, I don't know if you ever had any kind of businesses when you were young. Were you one of those guys in high school? Like, there's always that one kid who is like, I always tell my son to follow this kid that he's friends with, because the kid's always coming up with brands. Like, he's had his own clothing lines. His grandmom was from Spain, and he used to bring these lollipops into school from Spain and sell them. And he was like, there would be lines buying this kid's lollipops in like fifth grade. And I said, that kid's gonna be really successful. Stay friends with him. And he's still good friends with the kid. And he like flips sneakers. He buys like sneakers online that are rare ones and then sells them again. And were you one of those kids?
I still am. I mean, all this stuff in the background is all like garage sale finds and flip stuff on eBay for sure.
Oh, you do it.
Yeah, of course. But I was the same. I was the same dude as your brother's friend. I was hustling slush puppy gum. That I had a connection. My uncle had a penny candy store in Paterson, New Jersey, up until the day he died, like 6 or 7 years ago in Paterson. He sold penny candy and boxing magazines. And when I was in fifth grade, he hooked me up with slush puppy gum. I'd never seen it like in my area growing up.
Never heard of it.
I used to bring the packs of slush. Nobody did. I used to bring packs of the slush puppy gum on the bus and just take all their lunch money.
Really?
Yeah, in fifth grade, definitely.
So it's basically the same thing with owning a hot sauce company. How do I get people addicted to this shit? Right?
Yeah.
That they need it.
So you know what the trick is to getting people hooked on your hot sauce is establishing a relationship with a local farm 10 minutes from where you live that grow all the peppers that make apple cider vinegar, which sounds trivial, but every hot sauce company needs peppers and needs vinegar and needs salt and needs like a couple of basic things to make hot sauce. We're all making similar, you know, things with like different variations. Like this guy puts raspberries in his, or this guy puts a, you know, freshly squeezed orange juice in his to give it a little tang, or this guy, puts the hottest fucking peppers on earth and make your fucking asshole bleed and all this bullshit. But, long story short, I mean, we'll get it, you know, we can talk about Silk City Hot Sauce and all the other brands that I failed at. I'm succeeding at Silk City, but all the other things that were a learning experience, as opposed to a waste of time. But
I mean, every successful entrepreneur that I ever watch or follow on social media, I mean, they tell you got to fail a lot, but learn from each failure, and then you finally land on something. So
I've had so many iterations of these brands that sometimes I forget some of them, and I'll like be going through my desk, and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about this whole brand. The trick to what I'm doing now is I've established, like I said, this like really great relationship with this family who have a huge farm in Newfane, Vermont. I'm in Putney, and they're like 15 miles down the road, and they have orchards, and they grow peppers, and they squeeze the apples and make cider, and they even press the ferment their cider and make an apple cider vinegar, which is another component to hot sauce. So
tell us how you got that relationship going. How did it start? Because business relationships are everything. I even told this agent that I'm working with now a couple days ago, because he was like, you got to get the video, you know. Someone wanted to hire me to do the Remember When show. And then I had suggested one of the best venues I had ever seen. As soon as I walked in, I was like, I have to do comedy here some way. Did you ever watch that show, Daryl's House?
No.
Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates bought a venue, and it's only about 45 minutes from where I live. And the venue looks almost, I don't know if he built it that way or I'm confused, because he had a TV show. I think it was on like Access, and you see it a lot on YouTube, where he'd invite other musicians to his house and they would just kind of jam, but he would do their songs with them, with his house band. And and it was all log cabin looking, right? It was a really cool little recording studio. And then he bought a venue, and the venue looks like that studio. And I might be saying this wrong, so I apologize to anyone who's watching or listening if I'm getting it wrong, but this is what I think it was. And just my son had a birthday party, and he wanted to do paintball about a month ago. And it was literally, I look and I'm like, because we have 4 hours to kill. My wife and I are up there. My son's 14, so he can go do paintball for 4 hours. We don't need to even watch. We got the whole afternoon now, and I go, oh my God, there's a Daryl's house is 2 miles from here that says they have a live band during lunch. And we went in there, we're watching the band. There was like 8 people in the place. You could tell it's probably packed every night. And right. I'm looking at the scrolling talent that's coming every night of the week. No comedy though. It's all music. But I'm like, maybe I can sell them with the band and me doing the Remember When thing, because it's kind of got a music aspect. And then the agent says to me, well, is there anything in your demo video for Remember When? Is the band in there at all? I'm like, well, no, because there was a screen in front of them and they're behind it, so you can't see them. The last time we did it. And I said to him, I go, come on, man, be a salesman. I said, I never get work from me showing them a video. It's usually just me talk. Like, it was like talking to you. Like, I was like, everything in my career that has ever amounted to something started from a genuine connection, not a fake connection. Like, you could have been someone that could help my career, or I could have helped your career. But if we were just like, the guy's a dick, like it wouldn't have worked. But I was like, oh, I like this guy. I can help him, and maybe he can help me. Let's see what happens.
I had a really good feeling after we talked on the phone. I was like, did I already know Joe?
Yeah.
Because I felt like when we were talking, I was just like, that's
also a huge key to any person who's trying to be an entrepreneur, is get people to feel like they know you. Like, everybody that loves like a comedian like Sebastian Maniscalco, they feel like they know that guy, because most of his fans are Italians with the Italian parents. They just have the same background. They feel like it's like what you said. You go, I feel like I'm the same guy as you. Right.
Right. Because I'm not afraid to put my weaknesses like on or wear them on my sleeve. Like, sure, it's funny to me to have weaknesses. It's funny to me to have failed. It's funny to me to have tried. I think it's also fantastic to have successes and plow forward. But I think it's ridiculous when people are like, are just focused on their successes. It's almost like braggadocious, or like, who the fuck wants to hang out with somebody who's like, look how wonderful all my decisions are.
I hate being around people like that. I'm like, dude, stop it. Like, I have one guy that I used to be really good friends with, and something happened in his personality where he started to be that guy, which was like, my kids are amazing and I'm so great and I love what I'm doing and da 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 da. And it was just like, we slowly became not friends, really. I was like, what just happened? Why is someone talking good about themselves such a put off? Like, what was this person like at this farm that you, because it seems like, was that when things changed in your business when you made that? What were you making the hot sauce out of before that relationship?
Before this relationship, I've been making the hot sauce at commercial kitchens. Actually, the last commercial kitchen that
I was a commercial kitchen, basically.
Right, commercial kitchen. It's just yeah. So people are always like at the flea markets and conventions where I sell the sauce, people are like, "Do you make this at home?" And I'm like, "Yeah," because that's ridiculous. I mean, I was soup pot at home, but I make the sauce in 60 gallon pot. But it's a commercial kitchen is basically a regulated kitchen, one where a guy from the FDA or the local government agencies that oversee the kitchens that are producing product for sale. It's basically a regulated kitchen.
It's something you have to rent to go in to use to make your product, basically.
Right. And throughout, like in this area, there's about a half a dozen rentable commercial kitchens out, like into New Hampshire. There was one where I originally started. They went out of business, so I had to move to another kitchen. This was back in 2014.
Mm-hmm. And what ingredients were you using then? If you weren't using like the farm, you know, what do they call it? Farm to table, almost.
Yeah, farm to face. I've been calling it. My original concept was a local bean dip, and I forget how I was inspired to do it, but I thought people were like obsessed with hummus over the past 20 years, and when I first got into the game, I thought, how can I patronize or make something that'll appeal to like natural food consumers? So this is where I was going wrong in the beginning, to be honest with you. I was thinking more about them and how I can just turn their sensibilities on. So I had nothing to do with me or the look of the brand. Didn't have anything to do with me. It had more to do with them. So I actually found a farm out in Maine that grew old fashioned beans called heirloom beans. And I drove out to Maine, long story short, and I bought like 1,000 pounds of Jacob's cattle beans, like these cool red and white beans. And I loaded the back of my old Toyota RAV4 up and I drove them back to Vermont, and I rented kitchen space at that place in New Hampshire. And the commercial kitchens that you can rent usually come with human beings that help you make the product.
Oh, really? That's part of the deal.
Yeah, usually it is.
I never even knew about this. Yeah, okay.
Now it's not. Now I'm doing it all myself. But in those kitchens, they come with people, especially since the equipment itself is weird. Like the filling equipment is all.
So, the basics of this, is there a lot of trial and error here? I mean, how do you make something? You buy 1,000 pounds of beans. How do you make a little bit and you start trying ingredients? And are the people in this kitchen, are they skilled where they have ideas for your product, or are they just workers?
Yeah, well, both. They're good workers, and they've been bottling stuff from that kettle for years.
Were you a little bit of a chef growing up? Were you something? I mean, you have to, like, yeah. My brother-in-law is, I've been telling him to get into like some sort of, he's always doing these regular jobs, and like, I know him from a distance. So my sister-in-law gets pissed when I go, man, why are you not in the food game? Like, you're doing a job that has, and you're so, I see his personality come to life. Like, he's a quiet guy, man, quiet. And my sister-in-law is like, I'm trying to get him to be a CEO of a company. I'm like, what? I go, the best thing he ever does is when he makes his own food and he brings it over and he watches everybody eat it and he wants to share. And he's always making weird, crazy concoctions and he nails everything. He's got like smokers in his backyard. He's always doing shit. And I'm like, why are you not in, why aren't you making this into a business? And, you know, there's not a lot of people out there, I guess, that have a talent. And, you know, does it have something to do with your wife too? Is she like, what are you doing? You should be, you're this, is she tasting the things you're making and they're so good that you realize you got to try to market this?
No, my wife's super supportive, but she, no, it really doesn't, it really didn't like start in the home and you know, sampling stuff out with friends. I just like having worked on the road in sales in Philly, I was kind of one of those guys who was like, why am I running? I'm like, you know, I was running around like selling products for all those companies in Philly. And I was
why
like,
was it? Why, so why did you fall into food?
It was just kind of like, yeah. I mean,
and why hot sauce? Was there some reason there where you're like, a great hot sauce is needed? Is there a business mind that came into it, or you already had it and were like, oh, I'm going to try to get more. There were people over your house going, who made this hot sauce? How did it come about?
Yeah, the life timeline is so fucking confusing. I've always been a hot sauce fanatic. Always. I was in a band in high school called the Suicide Addicts. We used to play in my friend Tucker's mom's attic, and she had bought the house from this old hermit that lived up like in the attic of the house, and there was a little sign leading up into the attic that said Herb the Hermit.
Right.
And he killed himself in that attic. And then that was like probably back in the 60s or something. And then my buddy's mom had bought the house and we used to rehearse up in the attic. And we called ourselves the Suicide Addicts. But my friend's dad, who was a hot sauce guy, this was like back in the 90s. And I remember like having like hamburgers and hot dogs with his family and his dad, like going into his secret stash of hot sauce specifically because I was over there. So I guess I was a hot sauce, like curious, you know, way back. And always just like had like at least 10 bottles of hot sauce.
Like in my refrigerator at all times. 10 different kinds. Like what are the most popular ones? I don't even know. Like there's so many
guys like me. And that's the thing too, is as far as like why even I'm here right now, it's like comedy, dude. Like there's probably 3,000 dudes like me making hot sauce right now in this country alone.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's blown up and social media has created like this huge community of hot sauce aficionados and YouTubers and manufacturers. And there's a show on YouTube called Hot Ones, which gets millions of views. It's like an interview show where the guy has on like A-list celebrities and then puts out a plate of wings, and all your fans are like, yeah, no shit, everyone watches Hot Ones. But they go from mild to progressively hotter hot sauces during the interview. And that's kind of the gimmick, is that like, when is the guy going to tap out? Bill Burr's been on it. And like,
I know Bill Burr's all into that stuff. I know him and like Paul Verzey, who opens for him all the time.
I don't watch the show. I just want to let everybody know. And if you come over to me at a fucking farmer's market or the flea market or a convention, I don't watch the fucking show.
Is your career kind of like how I've seen comedians that I came up with like explode and get really famous? Like, have you seen any hot sauce guys that you've met along your path that you're like, and then you were there and all of a sudden they're fucking huge?
That's a fucking really good question. Yes. As a matter of fact, at one of the five commercial kitchens that I've been making stuff for, there was a guy, and he's a really cool dude. He's been in the hot sauce game for like probably 25 years. His brand is called Dirty Dick, and his name is Dick. People always laugh, Dirty Dick, but his name is Dick, so it's
not Dirty. That's just a friend of mine used to say this. I'm forgetting his name because he's a comedian. I only met him about 4 or 5 times. I'm forgetting his name. I apologize if he ever sees this. And he'll go, that was me. He always goes, the key to a good business is a great storefront. And to me, similar to a good storefront is a good brand name, right?
Right.
So it's kind of like, because, well, well, maybe we should get into it soon, is how you wanted to create that you've created different hot sauce lines to match different comedians, and they've actually, only one of them has sold them at his shows, and you said it sold really well. And I go, I would love it if you made a hot sauce to match my personality. And, you know, we also need to talk about how you involved comic books, which is another thing you're really into. You grew up with comic books. I forget, was your dad a comic book guy? He collected them? Was that what it was?
Yeah. My dad collected comics from when he was a kid. And then when he moved in with my mom in 1970, he said, I hope you don't mind, I have a little comic book collection. And as the story goes, he had like 2-foot long boxes of comics. And my mom was like, yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. You know, they were moving into a little apartment together. But over the course of the next 50 years, he filled up like 3 warehouses full of comic books from buying collections all over the United States. So growing up in the 80s and 90s, it was the family business. We had, you know, big sheds in the backyard, and me and my brother and all the neighborhood kids alphabetized, bagged, labeled all the comics for hours, 18 hours a day for pizza. And he'd come out and command that we work faster, and then
on the weekend.
Oh yeah, my dad was hilarious. And then on the weekends we would travel to New York and Baltimore and Chicago and San Diego and set up Philip M. Levine and Sons comic and rare esoteric books and TV guides and magazines. And that was like interesting. That was because I mean, as a kid, I got to see every city in the country. I got to, you know, hang out behind, like, go behind the scenes at like all the hotels and all the venues where comic shows were happening, and kind of like run around with other comic book dealers' kids, and just kind of have the run of the place. You know, I used to miss school a lot on like Mondays or Fridays because we would be traveling to a show, and that's what we did. And
When did you involve the comic book style on the labels of your hot sauce, and show everybody a couple because they're pretty cool looking? Okay.
Yeah. So the original comic book, back in 2018, I was selling hot sauce that looked like this. Silk City hot sauce.
What is and that? Okay, it's like a dragon. Okay.
Yeah, it's a dragon
with flames.
Slash pepper.
Okay.
And this is like your standard hot sauce bottle called a Woozy, W-O-O-Z-Y. This is the Woozy bottle. Everyone associates this with hot sauce.
Yes. And, what's the really skinny ones that you see, the skinny bottle?
Are you talking about this one?
Like the Tabasco ones are even thinner, aren't they?
Oh yeah, Tabasco's even thinner. Well, companies like that have bottles made for them. This bottle,
that's the standard.
Guys like me can get at every glass company, the Woozy. So back in 2018, I was doing a comic book convention because at that point in my career, I was thinking one day, I wonder if I could sell hot sauce at comic book shows, having had that experience going to those shows as a kid. So I reached out to a comic show promoter in Massachusetts and said, hey, I'm Jeff Levine. My father was Phil. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me? I was great pals with your dad. And I said, that's great. And I remember who he was too. And I said, can I be a vendor at your comic show? Thinking, you know, it might be hard to get a booth or something, but he said, he'd be happy to have me. And, so we, you know, talk stories about my dad and all this kind of stuff. So I was there selling this, a couple different
flavors of
habanero, mango, and at a comic book show.
Were people looking at you like you were fucking nuts?
Yeah, they were looking at me like I was like the fudge guy. Or
was there other food guys mixed in?
Yeah, there's a couple of like those multi-level marketing companies that kind of weave themselves into different conventions. Like they show up and it's like that brand where like you could become a distributor yourself of like, you know, Mama's Famous Fudge or beef jerky. You can become like the beef jerky guy. And basically that beef jerky company will send you a truckload of stuff and then you can just kind of go and do shows with it. But I was like, no, I'm making this stuff. I'm up in Vermont and I'm just here to have a good time. I grew up going to comic shows. So that's why I'm here. And people were like, cool. And I had a lot of success doing it.
And you knew how to talk to those guys in the comic book world. So those are your customers.
I did. And I was like tired of doing like setting up at the same old like farmers markets and stuff like that. Like, you know, the farmer's market is like, you know, most towns have them these days and they're boring. Like, I don't, you know, like being next to the kale farmer or the potter, it's just not me. So I, you know, they're like, oh, look at our wonderful, right, you know, like, you know, vegetables. So anyways,
Have a lot of competition when you go to a place like that. But when you go to the have you ever gone to Comic-Con?
Well, yeah, I've actually been to San Diego Comic-Con back in the 90s, not recently, but yeah, back when my dad was a vendor, I've been to the New York Comic-Con and San Diego before it was like, you know, like it's like as big as it is now. They were big, but not anywhere like it is today. But at that show in Massachusetts in 2018, this like zany dude that looked like he like crawled out of a Mad magazine comes over to my booth and he's like, I love hot sauce. This big tall guy with like bald hair with like long hair on the sides coming down with like glasses on his nose. And he was a comic book artist set up like against the wall signing autographs with his business partner, Philo Barnhart. I don't want to say partner because everybody in the comic book community thinks they're gay, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Is there, Joe?
Right.
No.
He's an artist with him.
It's hilarious. They're like business partners and they do they do comic books together and they travel to every convention together. So everybody thinks, he comes over to my booth and we start talking and he was just cool. He's like, oh, I've got hot sauces and I love hot sauces. He's like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if one of your labels looked like, you know, had a lady. And then we started just kind of going back and forth and brainstorming. And I told him how I love mystery novels and old hard boiled crime fiction with those cool covers with scantily clad ladies on the cover and tough guys and brute force and all that cool stuff from the 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So literally on a cocktail napkin, he started drawing this. I have it somewhere, the original napkin. And you see how talented they are.
He just whipped it out really fast. Boom. And you were like, oh, my God.
He did. We exchanged information. And the next thing I knew, I had this amazing original artwork for a new flavor that, you know, I called Killer Hot.
Right.
And this was the only sauce that had a label like this for a long time. I thought it was just going to be kind of like a one-off type thing, or maybe just like a special type of sauce I made in addition to the regular stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But people started really gravitating towards this. And I was like, wait a minute, I think we're onto something here. You know?
So where does it go from there?
And then, he did some other flavors. And I've got a collection of old pinup magazines from the 40s and 50s. And I called up Charles and said, his name, by the way, is Charles Moisant, Moisant.
And where is he based out of? San Diego? Chicago. Oh, Chicago. Actually,
yeah, he's there in Chicago, like Oak Park area. So during the peach season, those farmers who I'm totally connected with now actually hooked me up with like 10 bushels of peaches. So I created a hot sauce with habaneros and peaches. And I called up Charles and said, let's make a pinup magazine style.
You know what it reminds me of in a weird way, that whole story you just told is that movie American Splendor. And I hope you've seen American Splendor. And if you haven't, it's going to be your favorite movie ever.
I'm going to watch it.
You've never seen it?
No.
Do you know what it's about?
I'm the worst have you seen it guy. I told you.
Yeah, you told me. What was the movie I told you to see on the phone? You go, I've never been recommended something, but this one I'm actually going to watch. What did I
recommend? Oh, yeah, the movie, the Ray Kroc movie about McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. Yes. Everybody out there should watch that. The Michael Keaton plays the founder of McDonald's. The movie's called The Founder. It's fucking great if you're into founder. Somebody figuring out how to turn an idea into a trillion-dollar business. It's really interesting. But why I'm telling you to see American Splendor is Paul Giamatti plays Harvey Pekar, and I'm guessing if you're a comic book guy, you should know who Harvey Pekar is, but maybe sure. You don't. Okay, you know who he is. So yeah. That's this. It's a similar story. He meets that guy who's the illustrator. He's not the artist, Harvey Pekar. He's really the base of the art. Like, they realize that they can make a comic book out of this Larry David type guy. And if you've ever, go back and watch Harvey Pekar on Letterman, you can see he's just this. That's when Letterman was his best, when he would bring on this, you know, nobody knew who he was unless they were into comic books. And Letterman just knew this guy was so weird that he was entertaining, kind of like how the real Larry David was before he got famous, you know, just like this miserable, funny guy. And then they make a comic book. Just, yeah, that's what those comics books are, right? They're just illustrating his sadness or his grumpiness, and that's what's funny, and it becomes like this popular I think his comic books were called American Splendor, right?
I think so. I don't have any in the collection.
And I forget the guy's name. He was really famous, who did all the artwork for all those, and that's what made it. And what's great about the movie is they'll be talking, like we're talking right now in a scene, and it'll go all of a sudden into a comic book on the screen, will start to happen as they're like talking. So you see the comic book version of Paul Giamatti playing Harvey Pekar being illustrated on the screen, and you see how it's going to turn into this popular thing.
And it sounds funny. Awesome. Another solid movie rec.
The movie's incredible. And what else it does, and it was always something I was a fan of, and I had a dream of it being a real idea. Like what you said, where you forget about ideas you have. I just remembered one that I had. What else is cool about that movie? And I've never seen anybody else do it. The real life Harvey Pekar is in the movie, and the real life friend. He has this really weird, like autistic friend in the movie. And this comedian, I know, Judah Friedlander, plays him in the movie. So you see the actor versions and the real versions in the same movie. So it's like got this slight documentary mixed into a scripted film. And I'm like, this is so fucking cool. And I wanted to make a sitcom where you saw like an actor playing my dad, and then you see my real dad pop up every once in a while and say a couple things, and then it goes back into the show. Right. Like, I always wanted to do something because one thing that to me resonates from our conversation now is how you have to, and I think the internet made this happen. People want to see how it's made. They want to see who you are in your product. It's like, I always say, this is where I get stuck with social media. I'm great at putting clips of me doing stand-up, but it's not enough to get humongous. They want to see what you're like when you're not doing your act and have that be funny too. And I'm always like, I'm not funny off stage. I'm serious. Like, I'm this guy off stage. And how the hell do you turn that? Like, in your product, you figured out a way. Oh, I love comic books. And you stumble onto this comic book guy and he illustrates your labels. And then you start bringing your own personality. Now, to me, and I don't know if you do this yet, people that get successful in your kind of field, they'll get a TV show or they'll make their own videos and use it on their social media page of how they're making what they make and showing their personality and who they are. Now we want to see your wife. I get stuck because, dude, my wife doesn't want to be in any of my shit. And like, people are always like, we loved it when your wife used to come on. I'm like, I know, because that's real. You guys like the real. She doesn't want to fucking do it. Like, I don't know. Sorry, I'm going down
yeah,
a rabbit hole.
I hear you. I just recently asked my wife, and I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I said, "Do you want to be on a label?" Because I met this great artist at a horror convention a couple of months ago, who lives actually not far from me in Northampton, Massachusetts. Follow him at Art Muffin, ARTMUFFIN, on all social media platforms. He's a cool dude. He has amazing horror business, and he draws like Freddy and Jason and Nosferatu and all this cool stuff. But I'm coming out with this new item where it's like a spicy syrup combined with apple cider and red cayenne peppers. And I just kind of envisioned my wife standing in front of like a Vermont landscape, holding a tray with like bubbling over with hot spicy syrup.
Mm-hmm.
But all like the girls on my labels are sexy. My wife is sexy, but she's also shy and not as, you know, she's not like.
Same with my wife. Like, oh, yeah. My wife always says, "I don't mind when you talk about me in stand up because they can tell it's an exaggerated version, but I don't like the real life stuff." Like, she doesn't want to be on a podcast. She's done it, but she does not want to do it. She doesn't want to be funny. She doesn't want to be out there, and it sucks because that's what they want. They want to know you.
I know it's compelling. Like, who's
standing beside? There's a reason why the comedians are the biggest right now, except for Sebastian Maniscalco. A lot of times it comes from a podcast, which is, here's who I really am. You can't hide on a podcast. And the guys that are really good at podcasting and being themselves launch, you know, and I see it happen a lot from the podcasting world or some other version of making a YouTube video. They need to see how it's made. And
how it's made. Go to Silk City Hot on Twitter, and you'll see like for the past couple of months, I've started, you know, doing that. And
Twitter stink. I think Twitter is like dying, and like Instagram and TikTok is the one that people do the best on. Like, and really, you need to have like a documentary of your business going on while you're marketing.
Oh, that's true, because TikTok is straight up video, right? So that actually make more sense to put that type of content on that platform.
And they also say you got to get on a million podcasts, but it's like hard because unless you're big, nobody wants to have you on their podcast.
I know, and I love podcasts. I love like the whole radio medium. I mean, as far as you know, besides everything else that I've done with my life, I've always listened to radio. I got into podcasts from day one. I remember like 25 years ago, I was working in the produce department at this like grocery store, and I was just like a teenager, you know. And I used to have a Walkman, and I used to go to the library and get like educational tapes, like, you know, that company, the teaching company.
No.
And they it's like that, like you could, it's that company where like they hire professors to do whole courses back then on tape, and then they, you know, they moved like each audio format like CD, and now it's like MP3 or you can download it. But back then, like you asked earlier if I went to college, I've taken some college courses, but I always felt like I'm like a self-learner. I never like fit in like the structured system of education, which is something you might be able to relate to. It's just, I just never, like, even in public school, it wasn't for me. They never said he's dumb. They just said he doesn't
question about schooling for you is because you went in and you got a job working in the corporate world. So something you said in that interview must have made them take a chance on a guy that doesn't have this.
And I told them to do that. Just straight up, take a chance. What do you have to lose? A couple of weeks. I'll go out there. I'll make things happen. And if I don't, then thank you very much for the opportunity. But if I do, then let's rock, you know.
Right.
They weren't paying me like a ton anyway, so it wasn't like they were taking a huge investment in me or anything. But that's kind of how I've always just kind of operated. Like, just like always like interested in things, but on my time and what I want to learn and what I'm interested in doing. So, like, you know, as far as like the audio, like I said, I remember just putting tapes in my Walkman and like having one earbud in and like just listening while right. I was working, one earbud, and then, you know, listening to people with my left ear if they needed help in the store. And it's just kind of like just always been that way. I've always had like podcasts or radio or audio on in the background.
Yeah. Well, you and I are the same. You and I are the same guy. We always figure we know that. You don't even have to tell me. I already know.
Yeah. And like, you know, when I listen to like comedians and a podcast, like it's the best. I mean, you know, you guys are funny. And it's like the one time like where I've always just kind of allowed myself to just go with the flow wherever a comedian is going. It's almost like a release to just like to sit back and laugh, you know?
Right. I don't know. Something about our conversation today, and I am listening to you, but for some reason my creative juices are going when we started talking about the Harvey Pekar thing and how his comic books were like the real life version of him. And you talked to me about creating a brand of your hot sauce for me with, you know, get the artist to do some sort of comic version of me. And we were trying to figure out what would it be? What would the flavor of the sauce be? You told me you did it with another comedian and it was successful for him, but then he kind of bailed. And maybe this could get popular for you to do with other comedians also, as long as I get a piece of it. No, I'm thinking if there's a way to pick up the bottle of hot sauce, right? Mm-hmm. And one, the flavor sounds delicious, right? But then mm-hmm. at the same time, like I said to you, I think the flavor for me should match my personality, but could it also make you laugh when you're looking at it? Like because of in that Harvey Pekar style, it says like, say it just has a, I'm saying something that like I'm known for that is funny, just like alone. It's just like, I don't know. It's got my mind racing. Like I watched an old Seinfeld episode last night with my daughter. She's like, she's 10. She loves Seinfeld and she's always wants to watch him. And some of it, I don't even know if she gets it. But the last night's episode, man, that we watched with, I don't know if you've seen them all, but probably. There's like a hot tub episode where Kramer puts a hot tub in his apartment. Yeah. And then it breaks and there's a guy who is staying at Elaine's place who fell asleep when he was in the Olympics. He was going to win. He was supposed to be the top rated like marathon runner 4 years earlier. And his alarm never went off and he missed the whole fucking Olympics. And now he's back to going to go do the New York Marathon again. And like, they have this whole conversation like about Jerry can't let it go. Like what kind of alarm clock did you have? What made you miss it? Did you flipped AM to PM? Is that what it was? And they're like the conversation they were having just had me dying. And it's similar to Harvey Pekar where it's like they're not even trying to be funny. It's just such a dead on funny observation. Just the simpleness of what was it, AM or PM? Was it the volume knob? What did you think it was going to? And Jerry's like, we got to put you in a hotel because they have the wake up calls there. They're going to wake you up. They do it for a living. You're never going to miss it. Right. So, and then Jerry, they go in the hotel and Jerry's afraid that he pissed off the wake up guy who's going to do it. He like offended the guy by accident over the phone. He's like, I don't trust it. We got to check out of the hotel. That guy's going to be a jerk and not call. So just, I'm just wondering if there's a way, like, is that crazy? Would anyone ever buy something that they're eating because the label's funny?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
What makes you think that?
Case in point.
Okay, what's this one? The Badass Jew? Oh, that's the Aaron Berg one. What's it say? Badass Jew.
It's just badass too.
What's that on the top left? What is that with the number 20? It looks like
that's up here in the top left is my logo and $10 price tag.
Oh, you have a price? It's the price is right on it.
The price is right on it. Right. I'm actually going to take the price off because I sell to stores and they usually sell for like $8. So I'm like, well, that's cool. Then they feel like they're getting a deal. And, you know,
and what's in the badass Jew?
The Badass Jew is a four pepper blend, serrano, jalapeno, cherry pepper, and habanero with roasted peppers and tomatoes.
And that garlic. One sells well?
Yeah, this sells phenomenally well.
Aaron Burr gets money off of those?
Aaron Burr gets money when his fans use his promo code, which I won't give out.
Oh, okay. I got you. If not, they just buy it off the shelf. He doesn't get anything, even though his
price. Right. So when I do
it
live,
doesn't say his name, does it?
No, but on the back label. Oh, the back label's not on this one. I haven't put it on yet. But the back label has the ingredients, and like we, you know, when we do your sauce, it'll say the on the back label. It'll say like this. Hey, look, here's another one. Here's Chad sauce, right?
Chad Zuma.
There's Chad Zuma, right? So he's on the mango bottle, and on the back it says the Z-Man is Florida's greatest comedian, and he likes it hot and spicy. Tropical fruit and fresh habaneros are the perfect way to spice it up, tropical style. This is the best hot sauce with barbecue salmon, coconut shrimp, chicken teriyaki, blah 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 blah. Check out the Z-Man live on stage, or check out everything Z-Man at chadzumach.com. It says right on the label. It's like a fucking advertisement for Chad, right on there. Right. So he talks about this on his podcast, and he tells all his listeners to go to the, you know, silkcityhotsauce.com and check this out, which is great for me, and I love it. But it's not the hugest reach in the world, but it's something.
He's a comedian, everybody, if they're wondering. Chad Zumach's a comedian and a podcaster and an ex-terrestrial radio guy. And a troublemaker. And he's on Kevin Brennan's podcast.
I've gotten heat just from beefs that he started.
Well, you should get a brand with Kevin Brennan. He's doing pretty well with his little slant on things, his pissing people off.
That would be cool.
It explains why your idea for my hot sauce was like a play on the Mad Magazine, and it was just giving the finger like a fuck you. It was like,
I thought that would be hilarious.
Well, yes, because it explains it now, because your brand kind of, what was the first one that you showed?
Oh, the
first one was just the killer hot, right? Like it just like fuck you. Like almost sounds like I dare you to try this. Like it's so hot. Like, I don't know what that just, there's something about hot sauce where the label is important, because I mean maybe all foods it is, but there's something about, it's the same with music when albums used to be big, and it sucks that doesn't exist anymore. You would want an album because of the album cover.
If
the girl was hot or the artwork was cool, there was just something about the way they looked that explains why now we're framing albums to put in rooms that we want to look cool. We put the album up because it looks cool, and it becomes like decoration. It's like you like the way that thing looks on your table at a restaurant.
I have Meat Puppets Weibos up on the wall upstairs. You're right. Which actually has a hot sauce bottle on it.
Is that a hard part that, because I'm thinking like what kind of restaurants use hot sauce? And it's a lot of these, like if you went down to like Texas and you went and ate at all those like places where you like literally pick out the meat, they're going to make for you or whatever, and they got all kind of crazy, but they usually make their own kinds, don't they? They don't have like some regular line in the restaurant, do they?
Yeah, places like that, yeah, definitely whipping up their own usually, and even in this area, the barbecue food trucks and stuff like that are like whipping up their own sauces.
What do you recommend your sauces on? What kind of foods?
Hot sauce people know what to do, but everything. I mean, breakfast foods are fantastic with hot sauce. Any egg dish is great.
I was going to say eggs. Yeah.
You know, tacos and all that, Mexican food in general is great with hot sauce.
Right.
Soups are delicious with hot sauce. Cause the heat, really, really adds a nice, flavor to soups. Cheeseburger is delicious with hot sauce.
Really?
Macaroni, yeah, mac and cheese. Oh, hell yeah. I mean,
Yeah,
mac and cheese is delicious with hot sauce. But just think, like, ketchup is like really like kind of like children's flavor, you know? It's got like, it's sweet tomato sauce basically, but hot sauce is way better.
And all they have to do to get some of your stuff is go to silkcityhotsauce.com.
Yeah, silkcityhotsauce.com. Use the promo code Joe, because Joe and I are working something out. Use promo code Joe.
And I'll plug it at the beginning and the end of the podcast that you're not on. Promo code Joe. We don't have my flavor done yet, but I don't know how fast you can get that stuff done. Because all of a sudden a lot of gigs are starting to come in, and I want to sell it at my shows. I think it'll be funny, especially if they're funny, you know.
I'm gonna perfect the sauce this month, and we're gonna get some artwork. We're gonna perfect it. We're gonna get a really cool drawing. The comedy on the label we're gonna come up with, or you're gonna come up with. You're the you know, and that's why I love collaborations, because the artwork, I want it to be like I want you to be able to like say like, yeah, it feels good representing Silk City Hot Sauce and being on the label, because it's an extension of your comedy and your mind on the label. I mean, I'm not an artist myself, so I have the art done anyways. So when the art reflects what you're thinking, I'll do the sauce, and then with your idea and the artist's rendition of that, it's gonna be great. And you're smart to like want to sell the sauce at your gigs, because like I said, Chad is down in Florida, so I can't get him large quantities of sauce without shipping a large pallet, which is really expensive. But you're only a couple hours away. We can literally meet up like an hour and a half one way, and I drive an hour and a half the other way, and just meet up, and it'll fly at your gigs. I know it will. I know it will.
I think sauce, it will too.
Yeah, and then plus when I sell the hot sauce at like comic book conventions, or like 2 weeks ago I did a pinball convention, which was a lot of fun. There's actually like this huge resurgence in pinball.
Really?
Yeah,
I love pinball.
Huge. Your pinball is like I don't know if it's, I don't really think of it as like gaming, but I guess it's kind of like in that world, but it's, I don't really see the connection. But yeah, guys are collecting pinball machines, and there are like a half a dozen pinball companies making new machines. And at the Sturbridge Host Hotel 2 weeks ago, they rented out the whole place for 4 days. And there was like one major ballroom was filled with like 300 pinball machines going back to like 70s, 80s, 90s. Awesome. And I was set up right outside of that room. There was a dealer's room where companies were selling like pinball related stuff. But the convention people set me up like right in the breezeway of just like the from like the convention room into the free playroom. And I was set up like from like 10 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. And then at like 9 or 9:30, they had some entertainment, like a Guns N' Roses cover band called Welcome to the Jungle performed. And then I was in the pinball room until like 4 o'clock in the morning.
It was all free.
It was all free. Yeah. Yeah. The machines were just all on free play. So
did you get any to pop? do they still do that? Do they make in the new pinball machines pop to get a free game? You get that sound.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I do. I actually did really well on the Monster Bash machine. I personally didn't get any other machines to offer me free games. I mean, they were all on free play anyways, but I'm not that good at the pinball. But on the Hot Wheels game, I kicked ass, and Monster Bash, which was like kind of a ripoff of like Famous Monsters.
Oh my God! For some reason I remember the Playboy pinball machine. Did they have that one?
The Playboy machine was not there. I don't remember that one. There was it was AC/DC was there.
The Playboy one, when you put the quarter in to play,
yeah,
it whistled. It went every time you put the quarter in, and I was like addicted to it. And people, I'm old, man. We used to stack the quarters up, like, and you could like hold the machine if you would stack them. Like, I don't know how allowed that you could sit there for 2 days if you had like $6 of quarters. Just
it was like a symbol, like that you were like everybody knew what you meant.
I held it. This is my machine for a while. You claimed it, and then
you put like, the flag on the moon.
Yeah, like, they would do that with pool tables too. Like the pool table in the bar, guys would stack their quarters up in a row. That they couldn't hold it for more than one game, but you knew the next guy had his quarters up, and you knew whose quarters they were. I don't know, it was crazy. Good times, dude. I wish you luck, and I want to have you back on the podcast more. And I want everybody to. I can't wait to get my sample package. I haven't gotten it yet. I can't wait to try this stuff. Because the picture you showed me with all the peppers, I wish we could show that to the people right now. Maybe, you know what? I could probably cut it into the episode and post. That picture you sent me of the pot with all the peppers.
Oh, yeah.
In there, I was like, oh, my God. I'd never
seen it. You know what that was? You know what that was? That was the last, like, yeah, the other night when we were going to, like, maybe do a show. And I said I was in the kitchen cooking all night. That was the last batch of peppers from those farmers that I'm connected with.
Do you have your phone next to you? You can't show that on camera, that picture.
Actually, yeah, I can. I got it right here. I texted that.
That just
to you, right?
Made me want to taste it.
All right, that's it was right here. Let's see. There's the Mad Magazine cover with the finger.
Yeah, show them that. You can show them that if you want.
Oh yeah, I thought it'd be funny to sort of do an homage.
Move it over. There you go. There you go. We got it.
Classic. Classic.
Fuck you. Here's
the. Let's see.
Let's see if it'll white balance out. Come over towards. Yeah. Hold it right there. No. It's hard to see the colors of all the peppers. Get a little closer.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, there we go. Now it's coming in. Now we're getting all red and green and yellow peppers are in there. You got jalapenos in there.
Oh, yeah.
Is that just peppers?
It's 100% peppers.
Oh, my God. How long do you have to roast that in there?
Well, that particular batch, I cooked for a couple hours. And then what I do is I put it through a mill to get rid of all the junk, like the stems and the seeds. And it's just I'm left with maybe 25 gallons of pure puree that will be used in the making of a sauce. So I basically just make a concentrate basically. And the reason I was kind of like working against the clock was, you know, getting local peppers grown by the farm. So they were literally in the walking cooler and they were going to go bad if I didn't use them. So the best way to preserve them is to make a concentrate, add some vinegar, store it in the cooler. I'm ready to make it into a sauce.
It's amazing, man. I can't wait to get them. And you guys, you got to try this stuff. And I hopefully will be selling them at my shows, SilkCityHotSauce.com. SilkCityHotSauce.com.
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast, which you are, it's a weird thing to say if you're listening.
You're listening right now.
Right. I'm one of you. I'm one of you guys. I'm a Joe Matarese guy. I've been rooting for Joe. I'm rooting for all of you. I'm rooting for the Philadelphia fan that used to call and leave messages all the time. I'm rooting for everybody. If you take a risk and you go to SilkCityHotSauce.com and you try my sauce, you're gonna like it a lot.
Yes. Anyway. Yes. All right, Jeff, I'm going to let you go about your day. And
edit that part out, for God's sakes.
No, not editing that out. That was fine. That was good. You are
like I'm begging people.
You are like me. All right, man. So I'm going to go do the rest of my day. You do the rest of your day. Keep that hot sauce coming. And I can't wait to see my brand.
Cool, man. I'll talk to you soon, Joe.
All right, buddy. See you. All right. He's gone. That was good old Jeff Levine from Silk City Hot Sauce. I'm really excited about the new product. I'm really excited about everything he's doing. And the Joe Matarese flavor should be great, right? We should definitely have some. Yeah, there you go. So that's the end of this week's podcast. Go to silkcityhotsauce.com, everybody. Check out his sauce. Go to joematarese.com. Come and see me live. I'll be home for the holidays at Soul Joel's place, his new venue out there in Pennsylvania, pretty close to Philly. I think it's near King of Prussia. Just go to joematarese.com. I'll be there the Thursday after Christmas. That's December 30th. Then I got a lot of things going on in January. I will be in Long Island at Governor's. I'll be at McGuire's Comedy Club, also in Long Island. That's going to be in January. Go look it all up, joematarese.com. And as you see the ticker scrolling at the bottom, as I'm going to do this with Jeff, is I'm helping people get their business rolling with my TikTok. I got over 80,000 followers now on TikTok. If you're interested in doing some sort of ad campaign with me and my stand-up, and on my TikTok page, we can put something together. All you got to do is email me at matarese67@gmail.com. It's scrolling right there at the bottom. matarese67@gmail.com. And we can put some little funny ad campaigns together for your product right on my TikTok page. It's the Joe Matarese. Go check it out. I got a lot of funny stuff on my TikTok. And like I said, over 80,000 followers. I've had one video get 1.7 million, and I had another video get 1.2 million. Okay, that's a lot of watch. That's a lot of people watching them. So it could help your business. Matarese67@gmail.com. Email me if you're interested. All right, guys, have a great rest of your week, and we will see you later.